Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts always be acceptable to you, Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. It was 2 weeks ago, while traveling to Connecticut, that I crossed over the West Virginia mountains to experience a blinding blizzard. When I arrived back in Kentucky only a week later, I witnessed the first taste of spring. I had been monitoring the daffodils in our yard, and only in a few days, I was delighted to see not only the green stalks shooting forth from the ground, but also tiny yellow flowers. The temperatures have now risen into the 60s, except for today, and the birds have been heard singing. Crystal blue skies have been observed, and the first shoots of flowers have appeared in the ground and on the trees, springing forth from the still, cold, and seamlessly lifeless ground. The dark days of winter seem to be coming to an end. Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, unless the grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." As we experience the annual dawn of spring, the dawn of new life and growth in our created world, we appreciate these words of Jesus. We know that every year, as the weather turns colder and the leaves drop from their trees, the earth must lie fallow, must give way to decay and desolation and death in anticipation of its glorious rebirth in the spring. This makes sense to us, and this we can grasp. What is hard for us to do is to translate what happens naturally in our created world with what Jesus tells us must happen to us mortal beings. Those who love their life will lose it. Those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. It is only in dying, in falling to the dank, dark, and desolate ground, like that tiny seed, that we are born to new life. Whoever serves Jesus must follow him all the way to the cross. There is no other way around it. And yet, ever since the days of our ancestors, Adam and Eve, ever since they ate the apple and hid from their God, we mortals have been doing our very best to find a way around death. In the good book, The Reading the Bible with Mind and Heart, the Reverend Peter Gomes, professor and chaplain of Harvard University, writes about an experience with some of his students as they come to terms with the tragic and sudden death of a classmate. This is what he says. Here they were, black-suited, still fair of face, and looking younger and indeed more vulnerable than when we last had all been together. Death had intruded, and with a monstrous assault on the human claim to immortality. They wept and they raged at the loss of their friend. Death was an abstraction about which movies were made, and death happens only to grandparents, or to the occasional victim of a terrible crime, or to participants in war. Death, in theory, would come to them eventually, but so far down the road of reality that it hardly seemed real at all. So how do the worldly wise, the hip, the interpreters of this life in the fast lane deal with it? How do they deal with the irrational judgments of death, unprepared, unexpected, and unwelcomed? Well, death is not something any of us want to understand or to know. Death is somehow unfair, and in this country particularly, it is culturally unconstitutional, violating our right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Thus, when death intrudes, particularly among the young, we respond in terror and anger and fear. As I listen to the heart-rending eulogies of my students, he says, for their classmate, I heard anger and fear. I heard their pained desire to make sense of it all. I reminded these young people that while funeral going was perhaps a new experience for most of them, it was an all too familiar habit for the rest of us. I reminded them that the context of life is not living, but death, and that it's out of death that life comes. The great spiritual paradox we face as Christians is that we all, not just the young among us, live in a death-defying culture. We all buy into this illusion that we can, in our own power, fend off death, while at the same time, we put our faith in a God who met death head-on and who teaches us that only by encountering death can we experience real life. As we draw ever closer to Holy Week, the most important week of our Christian faith, we are confronted again with the truth that the context of life is not living, but death. And it is out of death that life comes. As we follow Jesus to his death on the cross, we come to recognize, as much as it does not make sense to us, that our finiteness, our vulnerability, and our darkness become the places where immortality is really to be found. As we stand with Jesus at the foot of the cross, at the gate of his death and ours, we recognize that it is also the gate of life. And like the grain of wheat falling into the desolate, fallow ground, it becomes the way of transformation. Anne Lamott, best-selling author and writer on thoughts of faith, speaks of her astonishment at this transformation. She says, "Then amazingly, the first bulbs begin to bloom. Within a week, there are dozens of daffodils in the yard. When this finally happens in late winter every year, I am astonished. I've always given up. In November and December, when I plant them, I get swept up in the fantasy that the earth, after so much rain, will be rich and loomy. Planting bulbs sounds so romantic and such a fun thing to do, but it never is. The earth is rocky and full of roots. It's clay and it seems doomed and polluted. Yet you dig little holes for the ugly, shriveled bulbs. Throw in a handful of poppy seeds and cover it all over. And you know you'll never see them. It's death and clay and shrivel. Your hands are nicked from the rocks and your nails are black with soil. Yet here we are in the last days of March with daffodils everywhere and poppies are waiting in the wings. Here we are marveling at the green stalks and yellow flowers poking out of the desolate, lifeless grounds, the first signs of spring for us in Kentucky. And here we are another Holy Week, just around the corner, still struggling to make sense of it all, not sure what to believe about death and life, and yet we are compelled to follow Jesus as he makes his way to the cross. And as we always are with those hardy daffodils, our first signs of spring, we are delightfully surprised and even a little astonished to to stand at the foot of the cross and come to find that it is indeed the gate of life. For just a little ways beyond it, and to our very great amazement, we will see the empty tomb. Amen.